This is KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, and that music means it's time for Ghost Notes, the Kansas City music podcast out of the Fountain City Frequency Network. Calvin Arsenia is a Kansas City singer-songwriter who's done some globetrotting, including a stint in Edinburgh, Scotland, but he came back home to KC a couple of years ago. He also plays a bunch of instruments, including, most recently, the electric harp. Calvin Arsenio shared some of his music and his story with Ghost Notes host Hannah Copeland.
When did you start playing music?
I started playing music when I was about 13, but I think when I started to, and that's probably around the same time that I started to identify as a musician. As a child, though, I used to sing all the time. Anytime I was alone and not talking, because I was a talker as a kid. Quite the talker. I was so curious about everything and loved life science, like amphibians and animals and stuff, and then plants and bugs. And any time that I was alone, I was always singing to them about them. And
you're singing to amphibians,
yes,
when you're alone,
and about anything and everything. And nowadays, I think I've myself that my first instrument is my voice. So I would say that I started being a musician when I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, but you said you identified yourself as a musician when you were about 13?
Yeah, so that's the first time that I started playing instruments in front of people and noticed that I had a knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 13, I had a friend. Her father had given her an acoustic guitar for Christmas. And I did not like the acoustic guitar because, for me, it represented country music. And at the time, you know, I was still recovering from the 90s. And
yeah.
And it was always 90s R&B and soul, which is great music. But country music was not something that was anywhere acceptable in my life.
Mm.
And so when it was, I think, the end of February that year, so 2 months later, she had given up on learning how to play it herself. And she said, Calvin, you should take my guitar, learn how to play it because you're so musical, and then teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took her guitar, and by the time June came around, I started playing in front of people at my church. But I never taught her how to play.
Talk to me about your background in church music growing up and how your family's faith has made an impact on you as an artist.
That is a very loaded question. I think gospel music and the power of music, and I have a very high expectation for music to feel transcendent. I have an expectation that a musical experience will be something that lifts me out of my body, and that we will communally have this out-of-body experience, because when I was doing most of the time worship music, that happens a lot. And a lot of it is intention. A lot of it is the expectation of that. You know, we are there gathered to commune with an uncreated being who is all love and benevolence, and that's the intention, that's the expectation when you're in the room, and that's why we're singing together. And so
specifically for worship music?
For Christian worship music, yeah.
Okay.
But then when I'm playing music, or when I go to a concert where I feel that transcendence, which is not often enough, I
mm-hmm.
think. For instance, one of the concerts that really changed my life very unexpectedly was the Yonsei concert, the lead singer from Sigur Rós, his solo concert when it was, I think, Go Do was the album. And the set was built and inspired by a burned-down taxidermy shop. And so there was all of these, like, kind of melted windows and things that they were projecting all these animals on. And the music was so powerful and so ethereal, and but at the same time very direct and very emotional. And at the time, most of my musical experience had been in church. And so for me to have walked into a secular setting and to have experienced something so spiritual was mind-blowing and almost offensive. Like, I remember walking out of there, like, just shaking my head, like, violently. And I was like, you know, I came to see a show. I came to watch a guy on the stage over there, and he invaded my heart with his music. And I just felt that, like, that's not what I signed up for. And it was rude of him to be so, like, nosy in my life, you know, like, nosy in my heart, and, like, to be able to get into, like, my body and physically, I don't know, I felt like he was changing things, you know. He was in my business, you know.
Wow.
And so, like, when I play and when I perform and when I'm planning and producing shows, that's my standard. You know, for a long time, I felt that it was my job and responsibility to, and I still do, but I think for a while I had to build this into my personal culture. But that the point of me on the stage, since I have been working through my own personal catharsis, is to go to the end of myself and almost embarrass myself and break myself on the stage so that the people in the audience have the courage to do so in their own life. When I was doing church music, and also I kind of ventured into classical music after that in college, and I was studying classical voice, and so doing opera arias and things, the point of church music as a musician is to get out of the way. It's to facilitate a moment for other people, and so your stage, your spotlight isn't there. You know, you're there to facilitate group music for non-singers and non-musicians. Just general public, right? And then with the classical music, your job is to deliver and portray a composition by a composer. And so your personality and your humanity isn't something that is greatly valued in that art form. Some people might disagree, but that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then with songwriting and with personal expression, I think it's almost the exact opposite, you know, where we are looking into the mind of this human, and we want to see and we want to find something that is of value that we can learn something from. We want to know the story. And so if I'm there to be somebody who is seen and to be known in some way, then my job is to tell a tale, to give a moral or like a fable or something, to that there would be something to learn from my story. And in all those other different arenas, but those were not appropriate. But in this one, it is, and it's encouraged. And so it was just such a process for me to to allow myself to be broken and vulnerable on the stage. And I'm glad for it, and I'm still working on doing that more.
Just before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster and the blue TV screen light.
I think that performance and the part of that transcendent thing, right? Is to be able to entertain all of the senses simultaneously. So I want to have different foods or drinks that are special to the night, and I want temperature or you know, the feeling of the air in the room on your skin to feel right, and I want you to feel the bass in your feet, and I want you to be stimulated by some kind of lights or art or something that's moving. And so each of these, like, little elements when they're working together simultaneously, I think produce the environment that could provide transcendent experience. Because I understand the musical part most of the time. You know, that's not the challenge, but the challenge is how do I get a whole bunch of strangers to be in one accord and to feel something together? And yeah.
What's the value in that to you?
What do you mean?
Getting everyone to feel something together. Why is that so important to you?
Maybe I see, when I look around, a lot of people who are uninspired. And I think that potentially it's one of the most hurtful things that I see is people who have the means for greatness and choose to not use them. And typically the people who come into a show and they're just there to get laid or there to get drunk or there to you know, just have really meaningless fun for the night, like, those are the kinds of people who I'm most impressed when they come up to me afterwards and was like, I wasn't expecting that, but thank you, you know? And then hopefully they'll learn, you know, I started playing the harp as an adult. And I don't know that most people realize that, but like I started playing when I was 20 or 21, and which is less than 6 years ago. And anything is possible if you put your mind to it and if you're determined to like make it happen. So it's more than just like people like listening to the music, but it's also part of the story and to say like, you know, I didn't expect to walk into this bar and hear a guy singing on a harp, you know? But you know, you also didn't, you know, wake up in the morning expecting to create the cure for cancer or to you know, start being a skydiver instructor or to be a camp counselor or whatever, you know? Like, everything that's good about the world, in some sense, happens because of the decision of inspired people. And I want to play my part in that process.
Strike up a conversation with the lonely waitress. Two sugars on my toast, yeah, it's that kind of morning. Not much to do or say, individuals go their own way. People change like seasons change, yeah, it's that kind of story. We were more than smoke and mirrors. I touched you myself with these two hands. I can feel.
That's Kansas City musician Calvin Arsenia, who's talking to Hannah Copeland in an excerpt from the Ghost Notes podcast this week. Ghost Notes is a production of the Fountain City Frequency Network. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That's our show for today. You can hear it again later this afternoon or any of our other shows by visiting the website kcur.org/centralstandard. Also, go to KCUR's Facebook page later today for video of Calvin Arsenia playing that electric harp. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at KCURCST, and I'm at PTS Brian. Tomorrow, we keep talking about school. School's back in session, and we're sitting down with the superintendent of the Kansas City Public Schools, Dr. Mark Bedell. He's the subject of our portrait session, and we hope you can join us. The Ghost Notes podcast is produced by Matt Hodapp. KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our team includes Suzanne Hogan, Jen Chen, and Andrea Tudhope, and intern Zach Clayman. Gina Kaufman's on leave. I'm Brian Ellison. Have a good day.
My heart beat loudly. I miss you myself with my wee heart.